Good evening and a very warm welcome to you to Romford Baptist Church on this first Sunday evening of the new year. My name is Ian, I'm one of the ministers here, and Vicky, another of the ministers, is going to be preaching later in this service. As we begin, I want to share some words from Isaiah, which say these words: "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you." We come to the God who's going to lead us and help us and strengthen us in this new year. And together we will sing that great Christmas hymn, "In the Bleak Midwinter." Let us pray together. Father God, as we come to this new year, new beginnings, we praise and thank you for your sustaining love and power in our lives over the last year. We thank you, Lord, that you never left us. You were always with us, always upholding us, always keeping us. And at the beginning of this new year, Lord, we come to you afresh to re-establish our faith in you, to declare you again as our Lord, as our King, as our Saviour, as our Redeemer, as our Helper, as our Strength, as our Comforter, as our Shepherd. Lord, we come to you again to say that we are yours and we submit ourselves before you again. We do this, Lord, because your love is so great. So, Lord, take our lives and help us to remember, Lord, that you will always be there in all our battles. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Your grace has never been forgot. This is our next song. So we have a new year, and towards the end of last year, we spent some time praying and considering what was God saying to us as a church. And we came across some very familiar words, but we believe they were God's words for us as a church. And I'll read them later in the service. But we felt very much the theme for RBC in 2021 should be joy, peace, and celebration. Recognizing that 2020 was a hard year, but God brought us through that. God was faithful to us through that. And now we come to a new year with joy, knowing the peace of God and celebrating his goodness. And that will be very much a theme of this service, but also the year ahead. We sing together that great hymn, Joy to the World. For our God saves. As I said before that last song, we have new things beginning new year. And one of the things we're doing in the first part of this year in our evening services and in our midweek groups is we're going to be looking at how the Bible ties together. The Bible series. This is a series that has been written by the Bible Society, and we're delighted to be able to use it for our evening services during these first seven of the first 8 weeks of the year. And this will give you a glimpse of what's to come. Hopefully you have received your notice sheet, and on there you will see all that's going on in the life of the church. Please remember, you can join us midweek to discuss the Sunday evening services and to learn from one another. It will be done on Zoom, but in small groups. So you're not going to speak to a whole load of people. Just a small group of people will be sharing and talking together and sharing life and praying for one another in that group. There's also, as the week goes on, there's activities for the young people and the youth. And they're all listed on the notice sheet. There's the Wednesday mid-lunchtime service that everyone is invited to join. Book online. And next Sunday we'll be meeting morning in person, hopefully, and you can book online for that. Let me also just say that Tuesday is a really important thing, the Tuesday evening prayer meeting. If you can get online and join us for that and pray with God's people for the church, but also for the people of the church and the world as well, do that with us. We are grateful to all who have been sacrificial in their offerings to God over the last year and into this year. We have a lot of expenses that we have, particularly as we come out of lockdown, to get everything up and running. And we are really grateful to all who partner with us as a church as we do what we can to support those in need. Let's give thanks to God for our gifts. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all the ways we can give to you, through our times and our talents, our energies, but also through the money, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can give to you through the banks, online, through the website, in person, through putting our offerings in the boxes in the church. And Lord, we pray you will take all our offerings and that you will use them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn is that great carol, The First Noel. We come before God in prayer. Let us pray together. Firstly, Lord, at the beginning of this new year, we come and worship in adoration for your greatness and your care that's loved us, nurtured us, helped us and sustained us for another year. And Lord, we pray that as we come to this new year, we will come and grow as disciples in Jesus to know you more. For this new year, Lord, we pray about ourselves and your church and the potential of the year that's ahead of us. Lord, as tonight we think around the word peace, we pray for peace in your world. We pray for an end of warfare, an end of political battling, that peace will come. Lord, we pray for all those in our church and in the community who are struggling with their health at the moment because of anxiety around the virus and about all that is going on in life. Lord, for them we pray, peace be still. We pray for those who are anxious about loved ones, anxious about those who are sick or grieving those who have passed away. For them, Lord, we pray, peace be still. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell, for the sick, those who are in hospital, those who are recovering at home, those who are awaiting operations, those who are having treatment known to us and not known to us. Lord, we pray for them. Peace be still. Lord, as the new term begins, schools are open, students return to university. Lord, we pray for all who are starting out again in their education and anxious about all kinds of things. We pray, Lord, for them. Peace be still. And Lord, as we pray about joy, we thank you for the joy of knowing you, the joy of the cross that gave us life. And Lord, we pray that we will be joyful people. And we will know what it is to be full of your grace and your love. And Lord, as this year we will find many times for celebration, celebrating when normality returns, when new normal happens, when we can come out of our fear and back into the community. We pray, Lord, that we will learn to celebrate, but in the heart of our celebration will be our recognition of a God who is faithful. Lord, that we will find ways of giving thanks to you by blessing one another, by blessing you. Lord, hear our thanks. And may our celebrations be real. We pray this in the name of our Lord and our Saviour, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father who art is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we have two readings before Vicky comes to preach. The first one comes from the book of Isaiah, and chapter 55 and verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briar the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 2, starting to read at the first verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly the time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me so that I may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child with its mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophets, Jeremiah, was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are no more." May God give us his understanding of his reading. Our next hymn is that carol which comes from that reading, "We Three Kings."
Good evening, and we're going to journey with the wise men as we continue to look at those passages that Ian's just read to us. We may wonder, at this, the beginning of a new year, what will lie before us here in 2021? In fact, if we go back 12 months to the beginning of 2020, And we think about maybe those New Year's resolutions that we put in place, or those plans that we had, or those celebrations that we were hoping to enjoy last year. And we realise how they were smashed to pieces because of coronavirus. We may wonder how easy it's going to be to kind of plan for what will be going on in this year, in 2021. How different this year may turn out to be from last year. Hopefully better, hopefully more together, hopefully that opportunity just to be with our family and friends once again. But what will this year be like? We don't know, do we? At the end of the day, all we can do is just hope. And we have a hope that it will get better this year because of the vaccine. But equally, it's still in its very early days. That rollout has yet to happen. We've been told that it will be many more weeks and months before everyone who is able to will have that vaccine. And life for us continues still in that state of uncertainty. Can you even remember what normal was like? Coming out to an evening service on a Sunday evening, can you remember doing that? And then we think about our theme for the year. That theme of peace and joy and celebration. Our text for the year. Well, let's think about each one of those words in the context of the passage that we have just heard. Firstly, celebration. Let us go back to that scene on the hillside where the shepherds were keeping watch over their sheep by day and by night. For them, that night was no different to any other night up until the moment when the angel arrived. How were they to know that anything different was going to be happening that night that hadn't happened on any of the other nights? But we know that that night was the night that God chose for them to be the first visitors to see his son. We know that was the night that the angel came to the shepherds there on that hillside, and once they told them all about the birth of Jesus, we know that that angel was joined with a host of angels singing and praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. In fact, actually, if we look at those surrounding verses back in Luke's gospel, we see actually within those few verses, there is a sense of peace and of joy and of celebration, our themes for the year. Luke 2 verse 10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you great news that will cause great joy for all people.'" There's the joy. "Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And that's what we've been looking at, hasn't it, over the last week or two of our celebrations, looking in at that baby born in the manger. And the passage goes on. "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God." That's where the celebration is. All of them praising God and giving glory to him, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace." There's our peace. We've had joy, celebration, and now peace. "And on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." New Year. I wonder, how have you celebrated Christmas and into this new year? Maybe you have come before God at the beginning of this new year, praying that he will fulfill the promises that we have the hopes for in our heart. Maybe because of the hope of the vaccine, the hope of being able to see our family, the hope of being able to hug once again, and to spend time inside in the warm with those that we love, greeting one another, not just our family, but our church family and those that we see with a handshake or a hug or a kiss. But at the moment, like the wise men, we are still on a journey. If we look at this passage from Matthew, we see that the wise men at the beginning of that passage were on a journey. And we know that they ended up in Jerusalem with questions. They weren't sure of the answers that it was that they were looking for. They had arrived, perhaps having got slightly lost along the way, lost sight of the star. We don't know the full reasons why they ended up in Jerusalem. But we know that their journey at the beginning of this chapter was still ongoing. They hadn't yet arrived at their destination. And for many of us, as we start this year, many of us may feel that we too are on a journey. Perhaps we have questions. Should we take the vaccine if it's offered to us? How long will it be before things get better? When can we celebrate those family and important events in our lives once again, particularly if we've had to cancel them and cancel them and cancel them yet again? For the wise men, their journey wasn't over. They had yet to arrive at their destination. But the thing that we see in this passage from Matthew is that they were still willing to go on. Yes, they arrived in Jerusalem. And yes, they discovered that wasn't their destination. But they didn't just stop there. They hadn't given up along their way and along their travels. They still carried on, putting one foot in front of the other. They were waiting for that great celebration that they were sure was in the future. And for us, at the start of this year, there will be times we can celebrate. Times when together as a church family, we will once again be back in this place in the same old way, where you're not watching me on a television screen or on your electronic device, but we will be together once again. We'll be together once again on a Sunday morning and for our midweek activities, and there will be celebration. But at the moment, we're still on that journey. Celebration. Celebration to come. Secondly, joy. I want to just read you an account, well, kind of a, it's not quite a poem, but just a thought from someone called Don Dowling. And it's entitled, The Journey of the Magi Revisited. I hope you enjoy it. So we got there, eventually. Delayed by issues at the border crossings, strip searched, sniffer dogs, suspicious officials flanked by hard-eyed young men holding guns. They questioned us. Were we smugglers? What about the mighty costly expense spices we'd brought as gifts? Were they banned substances? And what of the gold? Was it to finance arms smuggling or insurrection or business bribes? And did we really stick by that story about you were travelling by following a star? What happened to the use of sat-navs? Why this obsession with astrology? A star portending the birth of a Jewish ruler? That alone nearly got us arrested. But they let us go. Their racial prejudices trumped by their conviction that we were really just harmless, foolish people bent on a wild goose chase. And finally, we reached journey's end. Despite that last rather unnerving interview with Herod, honey-tongued but with ill-disguised murder seething in his eyes. Was it all worth it? To discover by starlight a poor couple's boy child in a tiny shack? Well, let me say this. On our first entering in, we glimpse majesty in his piercing gaze. An awesome moment, compelling in worship. He needed no court attendants, no smooth-talking press secretary, no trumpets or hype or cameras. He was a human child, and yet he manifested a wisdom welling from the depths of the eternal silence. Here, we sensed, we had touched divinity. Now for us, life would never be the same again. And home we went and found another life. perhaps a more modern, up-to-date view of that encounter all those years ago. Because when we read Matthew's account, it says this: after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I don't think I'd probably noticed before this year, when I was looking at this passage, thinking about the themes of celebration and joy and peace, that this moment when they saw the star was the moment that they were overjoyed, when it stopped over the place where the child was. They hadn't even entered the house at the point at which they were overjoyed. They had stopped. They saw. They knew that they had reached their journey's destination. Their goal had been accomplished, and joy filled their hearts. And they were ready for their next part of the journey, that part where they opened that metaphorical door and went inside. Of course, we don't know what kind of accommodation that Joseph and Mary and Jesus were living in, but that sense of they'd arrived and they were joyful, and then they opened and went inside. Joy. When we're joyful, it can be contagious. It can make other people smile because of our enthusiasm and our joy and our delight. That's why it's so exciting to be with new Christians and to have that, see that joy bubbling up inside them as they share that love that they've just been overwhelmed with as God has entered in, because they've been willing to say, come into my life. Joy. Joy is just such an exciting and effervescent kind of feeling, isn't it? It lifts us up when we're down. Or at least it can be if we let it. Let me tell you about a membership service with a difference that took place at Oaks Baptist Church in Huddersfield a few months ago. This membership service was for welcoming in one of their young ladies who had additional needs. We'll call her Emma. And her story is this. Emma was dedicated at Oaks Baptist Church in 1995. She'd grown up in the church, delighting everyone with her flag waving and squeals of joy. And 24 years later, she became a member in a service that featured much flag waving and the singing of "Our God is a Great Big God." There were prayers of thanksgiving and blessing and a handshake, and it was all very moving. Emma's mum said, "It was a very inclusive service. It was a very special way of acknowledging the contribution that people with additional needs make to their church life." And she added this as she talked about her daughter bringing her own unique gifts to that church membership. "Emma cannot read or write. She won't be able to vote, but she will definitely make her voice heard. She has no source of income, but she's generous with her smiles, her squeals, and her huge welcome. She will help you see the world very differently, perhaps through more trusting and less complicated eyes. She will never gossip about you. She will never judge you. She will never challenge you about your theology. But she will pass on her contagious joy." I wonder, maybe if you think about some of the people you know, those people that you would say are joy givers, who are a real blessing to you, rather than some of those that perhaps are less so that we may know. But as we look back over our last 9 months, we will recognise that for some of us, we found this last 9 months a difficult time, haven't we, since COVID reared its head and the country first went into its lockdown. We found it hard to be joyful. And in fact, actually, there may even have been times when we were actually feeling guilty about being joyful and about giving thanks and kind of enjoying things when other people we knew were finding things so very difficult. But all of us need joy. All of us, even in this current situation and with the restrictions and the difficulties and the uncertainty, need to have joy, need to find ways to give thanks. We've said this again and again over the last number of months. We need to be like the shepherds as they hurried down to Bethlehem to see that newborn baby that we've been celebrating at Christmas. Or whether, like the wise men who have paused, now they'd arrived at their destination and they were overjoyed with the fact that their journey was at an end and they were going to finally meet this child. To have that moment in our hearts and in our lives where we just look up and give thanks and have that moment of joy, which hopefully will last more than a moment, as we give thanks to God for all that he has done. Because those words of God continue to ring in our ears. Those words of God that we've been marking through in Advent and through Christmas and into this new year, that the Messiah has been born, a Saviour has arrived, the ruler of the world has been born. And that shepherd, those shepherds all those years ago, were able to glimpse that and to grasp that. And as we start this new year, can we, along with the wise men, be joyful too? That the fact that as we go into this year, that shepherd who we remember in Psalm 23, who'll be our shepherd and our guide, and those countless verses we find in our Bible, will remind us that in all that we face, we're not facing it on our own, but God will be with us. God's rule will endure forever. And as that passage from Isaiah 55 reminded us, we don't need to fear being on our own because he is with us and his right hand will hold us fast. We don't need to be afraid. We have so much to be joyful for, to give thanks for, to praise God for. Don't let our uncertainties and our fears block that out. But let us, with the wise men, give thanks. Celebrate, as with the shepherds. Celebrate with the wise men. Celebrate in the weeks and months to come because of the Christmas story that we've been marking in the last couple of weeks to hold us into the weeks ahead, as hopefully, once again, our life will return to something that might represent normal, albeit a new normal. So we've had celebration, we've had joy, and then thirdly, peace. Perhaps there have been moments over that Christmas period, maybe when we've met up with our family or our friends or in our bubble, our Christmas bubble, where we have been able to celebrate and to give thanks. Sometimes peace seems so much harder to attain, doesn't it? That peace that we want in our hearts and in our minds. Maybe during those wakeful hours in the night when we're unable to sleep because so much is pressing down on us. Maybe we're aware that the rest of the people in our house are asleep, but we are awake, anxious, fearful, uncertain for the future, and we are wanting peace. Verse 16 of the Matthew passage says, when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the things and the time he had learned from the Magi. There wouldn't have been any peace, would there, in those families whose lives were ruined because of Herod's actions. There was no peace, just pain and grief and heartache, a massive sense of shock and of loss. And then we read on in this passage, verses 17 and 18. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Peace. We can't imagine peace in the lives of those families that were torn apart. Peace that had been torn apart by that act of aggression by Herod, by the violence and the destruction he forced upon the people over whom he was the ruler. And yet we see that actually was an event that was prophesied by God's prophets by Jeremiah. And God didn't stop that from happening. And many of us, as we've read those words tonight, may even again have asked ourselves again, why? Why didn't God stop that from happening? Why didn't he keep them safe? If we go further on in Matthew's gospel, we are reminded that not even a sparrow will fall without God noticing. It doesn't say that the sparrow won't fall. It just says that the sparrow won't fall without God noticing. Even in this horrendous situation that Herod caused to all those families in Bethlehem, and we know that Jesus had escaped with his family to go to Egypt, but even in those horrendous situations, God didn't stop it now. But God was there with them. We're not God. We don't know why that was allowed to happen. But what we do know from Scripture is that he was aware of their weeping and of their mourning and of their loss. We know that God would have been weeping too, because he weeps with us in our pain. He would have been with those families in Bethlehem all those years ago whose lives were being torn apart, as he is with us in our situation today. He's with us in our doubts and our questions and our fears and our uncertainties. He's with us when we're awake at night, and also when we are asleep and we're restless and awake during the day and uncertain. God is always with us. Sometimes when I'm listening to people as they pour out their hearts, when I listen to all that they are facing, I have to tell you, I often feel helpless. I feel at a loss. I wish that I could make their lives better. And somehow that sense of not being able to is one that impacts on many ministers and on parents and on friends and many family members alike. We want to make life better, don't we? It's almost that DNA within us. We don't want people to suffer. And when I listen to people and they pour out their hearts, I can't make it all right. But what I can do is to pray for them. And that is something more powerful than anything, actually, than we can really sometimes begin to grasp. That power of prayer that is at the tips of our fingertips. Power of prayer, where we turn back to our God, who knows everything, who doesn't stop the bad happening, but is with us in the bad. That confidence that we have, that certainty of knowing we're not there alone, but he is there weeping with us, supporting us and holding us. The words in the Book of Common Prayer, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And it goes on with those words of the blessing. "And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always." Those words are based in Scripture. And if you don't believe me, I encourage you tonight, be blessed yourself as you Google, other search engines are available, "peace of God blessings." And again, you will see those blessings in Scripture that we can find in our Bibles that give us peace, but also give us hope. Peace. We can't put a price on it. But we can thank God that he understands the power of peace and how it can help us to cope with what we are walking through. And peace is something he wishes us to experience. Peace is something he wishes to bless us with. Peace is a free gift to us. Don't push it away, but welcome it in. So at the start of 2021, as we thought about the journey of the wise men and we've gone back to the visit of the shepherds to Bethlehem, we've been reminded of the themes of peace and joy and celebration. And we have all of those because of what God has done for us. In the form of creation, in the form of sending his Son to birth earth in the birth all those years ago. The hope of the nations. come about by the birth of a tiny baby. And as we're reminded in the passage from Isaiah, we will go out in joy and be led forth in peace because of the everlasting sign found in the manger all those years ago, the sign of God being with us, Emmanuel. Reminded about on that first Sunday in Advent all those weeks ago by Peter Lynch as he shared with us at the beginning of Advent. And so, because we have hope in our hearts, as we come to the end of today, which is known as Epiphany Sunday, we, along with the wise men, can once again view the baby born at Christmas. We can again be like the wise men, excited and joyful, knowing that he can make a difference in the lives of all those who come and kneel in awe and wonder at his feet. We can trust him for this year ahead. We might not be bringing gifts of gold or of frankincense or of myrrh, but we can give him the gifts of our hearts and our hopes and our dreams. We can also give him our fears and our failures and ask for peace to help us in those situations. But whatever it is that we're going to bring to God tonight, we offer them to him. And we pray for that joy to come and enter our hearts, for the peace to still us and to celebrate all that he has done in our lives. And not just for the here and now, but also in the weeks and the months and the years ahead. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a mighty God, a God who wants to give us so much joy and pleasure and give us reasons to celebrate. But Lord, we recognise too, there are times when we need your peace. And Lord, for those of us tonight who need the touch from you, Lord, fill them, we pray, with your peace. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are, all that you were in the past, and all that you will be in the future. And we thank you that as we go into this year, we won't be walking on our own, but that, Lord, you are with us. And for that, we thank you. Amen. We're going to end with a song that by its title may not be familiar, but I think you will enjoy it. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. And so, as 2021 continues, we go from this time together, knowing with that reminder in our hearts that we can go with joy and peace and celebration, because every step of our path, every journey that we make, every hope that we have, whatever we may face, God will be there with us. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. And I hope you enjoy this last piece of music as our service concludes. Good night.